strong.
I don't know your friends. Don't know where you've been. Why are you one now? So put your lips up to my mouth and tell me you can't stay. Don't slip your hand under my shirt and tell me it's okay. Don't say it doesn't matter, 'cause it's gonna matter to me. I can't be alone if you got me out on the edge every time you call. And I know it would kill me if I fall. I can't be alone with you. Please don't change that door. I can't win this war. Your body's like a
ABC News, I'm Daria Aldinger. President Biden says the future of democracy will be on the ballot this November.
The extreme movement of America, the MAGA Republicans, led by a defeated president, is trying to steal history now. They tried to steal an election, now they're trying to steal history, telling us that violent mob was, and I quote, a peaceful protest.
Mr. Biden at Mother Emanuel Church in Charleston, South Carolina, site of a deadly mass shooting in 2015, the visit just weeks before the state's Democratic primary. The White House is dismissing Republican calls to fire Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin after the Pentagon delayed informing the president and senior officials the secretary had been hospitalized. An NTSB team is headed to Oregon to retrieve the door plug that blew out of an Alaska Airlines jet. NASA says the lunar lander it launched early today may not make it to the moon. Nike and Tiger Woods are parting ways after 27 years. This is ABC News. Also in New York today,
Free Palestine!
Police arresting dozens of pro-Palestine protesters for blocking traffic near several major crossings, including bridges and a tunnel. All were reopened by late this morning. No screen time for kids under the age of two. That's the recommendation from the American Academy of Pediatrics. A new study in the journal JAMA could point to reasons why. Here's ABC Sherry Preston.
Researchers ask caregivers about children's sensory abilities, things like picking up on certain stimuli, being irritated by certain lights, and not noticing things that other children do. While not saying this is the cause, only that it could be associated, the children who were exposed to more screen time had more sensory differences than those who were not encouraged to spend more time watching TVs, on tablets, or on phones.
Good news out of Slovenia. All five people who were trapped inside a cave for 55 hours have now been rescued. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
When something happens to your kitchen, you might say,
"This is ludicrous."
But that won't fix your home. That will only get you the rapper Ludacris.
Having trouble? Don't panic. Don't be alarmed. You need to file a claim? Holla at State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. You can file a claim on the app or call us.
Thanks, Mr. Chris.
No matter how ludicrous the situation, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
When you use Bounce dryer sheets and your clothes look amazing, it's the sheet. Less static in your life? Yeah, it's the sheet. Smelling fresher than ever? It's the sheet.
Oh, so soft fabric? Ooh la la.
It's the sheet. Less wrinkles on your clothes? You know it's the sheet. Bounce dryer sheets. More freshness, more softness. Less static, less wrinkles. It's the sheet.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Aylin. There'll be no criminal charges in connection to a fatal shooting involving police in Ozaukee County. That incident happened November 2nd when county sheriff's deputies tried to pull over a suspect identified as Christopher Sewell for outstanding felony warrants near I-43 in the town of Grafton. Vehicle driven by Sewell sped off. That led to a chase. After a tire deflation device caused the fleeing vehicle to stop, Sewell ran from his vehicle and into a nearby tree line. The Wisconsin Department of Justice says after Sewell allegedly revealed a weapon, Deputy Michael Zilke shot Sewell, who died at the scene. Ozaukee County District Attorney Adam Garrell concluded that Zilke acted in self-defense in the incident. A man who allegedly was evading a traffic stop has died following a crash in Dodge County Sunday evening. The sheriff's office there said after the driver reportedly didn't stop for Washington County deputies, a Dodge County deputy attempted to pull over the possibly impaired driver who was driving erratically. The driver then sped away at speeds of over 100 miles per hour. After failing to negotiate a curve, the pursued vehicle crashed into a tree. 27-year-old man from Hartford behind the wheel of that vehicle died at the scene. The Wisconsin State Patrol is assisting the Dodge County Sheriff's Office with the investigation of the crash. Milwaukee County's district attorney won't be running for re-election.
D.A. John Chisholm announced on Friday that he'll be stepping down at the end of his term this year. Chisholm was first elected to the district attorney's position in 2006 and has been with the D.A.'s office for 30 years. He says he's honored to have served the community and pursued justice for Milwaukee residents. Chisholm will be working with his chief deputy, Kent Lovern, in the transition. Lovern is expected to run for office in November. Raymond Newpert, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Smart businesses advertise on local radio. Durand's WRDN, 1430 AM and 107.3 FM. Business owners, listen up. What's the one advertising method that doesn't cost your customers money? Radio. It's portable. It's in cars, offices, homes, and businesses, and free to your potential customers. Radio works. Ask our advertisers, and you'll want your business on Durand's WRDN radio at 1430 AM and now at 107.3 FM. Call 672-8989 today.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Some spotty snow showers early, wind down to cloudy skies and high temperatures flirting with the freezing mark. Snow starts to move in overnight, and we could be waking up to 1 to 2 inches. With the snow continuing until the afternoon tomorrow, we could get an additional 1 to 2, which is why winter weather advisory is in effect for Grandpa's barbecue sauce made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at Grandpa's BBQ shop. Currently, it's 28.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Durand Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
Dumi Plaza via Farm Journal broadcast. This is AgriTalk. This morning we begin with a conversation with Machinery Pete Greg Peterson. Then it's Carrie Cochran-McLean from the National Rural Health Association. And directly following the news, an extended weather update from Brett Waltz from BAM WX. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now the host of AgriTalk, Jeff Lowry.
All right, Davis. Hey, yeah, buddy. How's it going this morning?
Super terrific.
Really?
Great. Yeah.
Really? Did you get snow and then, like, rain and then more snow?
A little bit. A little bit.
Yeah. A little bit of all of that?
It was kind of like being in the Midwest, you know? It's awesome.
Wow.
Yeah. It's weird.
All right. All right. Welcome to AgriTalk this morning. Glad that you are all joining us. Davis, do you smell that?
Let's see.
Smells
that crispy
like,
smell, huh?
Yeah, yeah. It smells like perfection.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. And it must be the South Dakota State University Jackrabbits and a perfect 15-0 season.
Yes.
And back-to-back in Division I FCS championships. Beat Montana. Stomped Montana.
Ooh. Stomped. Well, congratulations. Yeah.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Big congrats out to the Jackrabbits. And, of course, I don't know if you've heard, and maybe you haven't. Maybe you haven't. But there's another football game tonight.
There's more football?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, another kind of a big game tonight.
Okay.
And it's a big game that, yeah, I can say that say this on this network. It's a big football game that does not include an SCS team.
Oh.
Oh, my goodness. Michigan versus Washington for the national championship tonight down in Houston. So,
you got to like Michigan for that, don't you? You like Michigan?
I like Washington.
Okay.
I didn't get many myself. Washington looked really, really good in the last game. That doesn't mean that they're going to perform that well in this next game, but
well,
they looked really good.
I'm just being contrarian. I mean, if we both root for the same team, where's the sport in that, you know?
Exactly. Hey, we better get to the news.
Dude, National Weather Service Outlook, I'm just going to go quick here. We're going to get more in just a moment. Major storm will produce widespread significant impacts over much of the United States this weekend. Meanwhile, a major winter storm will bring several feet of snow to the Washington and Oregon Cascades through tomorrow. Congress has reportedly reached a $1.6 trillion spending deal. The agreement, however, faces criticism from conservatives
And it's unclear if lawmakers can swiftly pass legislation to prevent a government shutdown. Chip, it's unclear if lawmakers can pass legislation at all.
Right. Yeah, this is being marketed, I guess, by Congress as a decision. Yeah. And we are avoiding a government shutdown. We got a long ways to go with this before we avoid the government shutdown.
Yeah, I think marketed is the right word there.
Yeah.
President Biden is preparing what is what some are calling an ambitious second term agenda. But the success of many of his plans depend on the outcome of the congressional elections and the balance of power on Capitol Hill. Chip, I would say that goes for no matter who wins the presidency.
Well, that's exactly right. And yeah, no, I'm not going to. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Several sources in the Middle East confirm to Shipping Watch that the first shipping lines have made agreements with the Houthis to prevent their ships from being attacked in the Red Sea. I don't like this one, Chip.
When you start negotiating with the terrorists over there and the terrorists start, you know, providing cover for some commercial lines but not others, then those terrorists start targeting very aggressively the commercial lines that are not paying for the cover through the Red Sea.
That's right.
It's going to deteriorate into a real mess.
Well, Chip, the U.S. State Department launched a reward of up to $10 million for information leading to the disruption of the Hamas terrorist group's financial mechanisms and the arrest of key figures involved. German farmers have launched protests against the government's plan to phase out subsidies, leading to road blockages with tractors across that country. The main point of contention is the government's intent to eliminate two tax breaks that farmers currently benefit from.
Yeah. Well, they're doing everything that they can in Europe to transform that agricultural system into something that, you know, we've seen glimpses of it in Sri Lanka, for example.
Yep.
This is the wrong path.
Yeah. Well, and finally here, Chip, in Taiwan, voters will head to the polls on Saturday. That's January 13 coming up here. China increasing pressure on the island, particularly under the leadership of Taiwan's president, who is known for fostering an unofficial relationship with the United States. Awkward.
All right. Yeah, very awkward. All right. Thank you, Davis. Let's bring in Greg Waltz, BAMWX.com. How are you, Greg?
Hey, good morning, Chip. How are you doing?
Well, we're doing okay. A little anxious about the weather that's moving in, but let's start in South America. What are the weekend trends and what have we got going forward?
Yeah, so over the last 7 days or so, some really, really beneficial rains across parts of the main growing areas, 2 to 4 inches of rain across a pretty decent area. I will note over the weekend, rains verified a little bit more isolated than what some of the model data had indicated. But nonetheless, certainly some help that has happened over the past weekend in many of those areas that were in desperate need of rain. I am concerned, though, you get back into the 6 to 10, 10 to 15-day time frame from now, and it can start to warm up and dry back out a little bit following some of these more beneficial rains in central parts of Brazil.
Yeah, well, the markets are certainly accounting for the rains and the forecast calling for some better or improved conditions ahead as well. No question about it there. Okay, we've got that storm out in the central plains. It's heading into the Midwest right now. What's the bullseye?
Yeah, so kind of two separate areas. The first one's across the western half of Kansas and southern Nebraska. That's where you're going to get a combination of maybe 6 to 10 inches of snow, storm total. But I think the bigger story there is the wind. Blizzard warnings in effect for many of those areas, talking about wind gusts 35 plus miles per hour. Secondary area that I'm watching for maybe 8 to 12 inches of snow, southeast parts of Iowa, and then up into south central parts of Wisconsin. That's going to be where your heaviest snow with this storm is going to be.
Okay, does the wind move to the east as well? Is that something that we have to watch for?
It does. The wind's going to be gusty, but not quite as strong as areas further off to the west. So not quite into those blizzard warning criterias further off to the east.
Okay. And the Gulf looks very unsettled for today.
Yeah, you know, that college football championship that you all were talking about down in Houston today, they're under an enhanced risk for severe weather, wind, and maybe even a couple of tornadoes down there as we work into this afternoon and into this evening. And that spans along the Gulf Coast down into parts of Louisiana and Mississippi as well.
Man, that is tough. And then right behind it, we've got another storm with some colder temps coming through this late this week and into the weekend.
Yeah, believe it or not, I think that the storm Friday, Saturday, and into Sunday is probably going to be even stronger than the one ongoing right now. It'll be a little bit further southeast, so I'd be watching Missouri, Illinois, Indiana, and up into Michigan for a very powerful storm system to work in. Probably some heavy snow in there. Exact storm tracks still to be ironed out a little bit, but for some of those areas, considering the lack of snow last season, probably one of the bigger storms we've seen in a couple of years.
Wow. Wow. Good stuff, Greg. Thank you so much, buddy. We'll talk to you again next week.
Yep. Have a good one, Chip.
All right. That is Greg Waltz, BAMWX.com.
Brett Waltz.
Coming up next, Brett. Did I say Greg? I said Greg. Was I calling him Greg the whole time?
Yes.
It's only been like 2 years since we've had... Sorry, Brett. Brett Waltz, BAMWX.
When we told growers that Bayer Premium Trifold Herbicide for corn delivers visibly clean fields for up to 8 weeks, they were a bit skeptical.
We'll see how it works.
So, we decided to prove it. We set up cameras in multiple cornfields, treated them with Trifold, and filmed for 24 hours a day. For 8 weeks, we saw a variety of weather conditions, and Trifold worked. See for yourself at TrifoldInAction.com. Trifold is a restricted-use pesticide. Consult your state pesticide regulator for specific restrictions. Read and follow pesticide label directions.
Join us in Houston for the 2024 Commodity Classic, New Frontiers in Agriculture, where you'll find a trade show defined by progress and innovation, and education that'll open your mind to endless possibilities. Plus, we'll close out the show on Saturday at the Houston Rodeo, the world's largest rodeo and livestock exhibition. Join us February 28th through March 2nd. Houston, we have no problem. Discover more at CommodityClassic.com.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
Go outside, I wanna be. But so much waiting for me. Yeah, I wanna go outside, I wanna be.
We're here.
Whoa, that was fast.
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature. DiscoverTheForest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
This is Andrew McCray, host of The American Countryside. I'm also a farmer and rancher from Northwest Missouri, and I hope you'll join me each week for Farming the Countryside as we take a look at the top issues impacting agriculture as told by the people farming and working in our industry. I'll talk about markets and trade, share some of the latest tips and trends for grain and livestock producers, and take a look at trends impacting rural America. Join me for Farming the Countryside on many local radio stations or on your favorite podcast platform, or just go to farmingthecountryside.com.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Stay clean and dry while doing chores around the farm with waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech workwear is ready to go for the next day. UtterTech has products for veterinarians, poultry, swine, goat farmers, and even kids, too. See all the UtterTech products designed to help you on the farm at UtterTechInc.com.
Machine Repeat here, folks. This segment of AgriTalk brought to you by our friends at Dakota Ag Innovations, makers of Dakota Shine, the best way I've seen to fix faded paint. Go to DakotaShine.com or call 888-996-7801.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. Glad that you are with us on this Monday morning. Man, apologies to Brett again. Good grief. Davis, I must have been so excited about the conversation coming up with Greg Peterson.
Well, I think you were so worried about the weather, you know? Whatever that is, it's rolling in. Like, you can't even focus. It's fine, buddy. Yeah. It's fine, but it's making me nervous.
Well, this one does have me a little shook. I got to get to town and get another tank of gas here.
Safety first. You
know, safety first. First. That's exactly right. Yep. Big thank you to Brett Waltz from BAMWX.
Love that guy.
Always does a great job with us every Monday morning. So we appreciate his efforts there. Let's bring in Greg Peterson, Machine Repeat. How you doing, Greg?
Hey, I'm doing pretty well, guys. How you doing this Monday morning?
Doing real fine, real fine. You on the road again this week? Be careful out there.
Oh, well, kind of yes and no. I'm just across the town in Rochester. We're actually moving in the process of that. So it's staying in town, but not in the home yet, doing some demo work. So kind of home, kind of not.
Yeah, you know.
Limbo land.
There's a lot of days where I think to myself, it would be great to be Machine Repeat. It would be fantastic. Right now, in the middle of a move, I'm not going to think that.
Yeah, my back is killing me. I'm so out of shape, and getting old, I guess. But no, life is good. It's all good. So I got Machine Repeat running the move. So I'm just following orders there. So it's all good.
Fantastic. All right, let's get to the pick of the week. It comes from Tennessee.
Pick of the week: a pair of red tractors. I couldn't parse them out. They got to stay together. Okay. Pretty amazing. It was December 28th, the farm auction in Palmersville, Tennessee, sale by Harris Real Estate and Auction Company. It's a retirement sale for Barber Farms, and they had a pair of Magnum tractors, which of course we've been talking for years now. These late 80s, 90s, good condition tractors, whatever color, super strong, and they had a Case H 7140. Low hours, 3,467 hours. That sold for $83,160. Record price there. And ironically, the record, just had been set December 7th on a farm auction in Richwood, Ohio at $79,000. Okay. So here you are, these Magnums are what, from 87 to 93, so 30 to 35 years old, and you get two records within 3 weeks.
Yeah,
but that wasn't the only record. There was also a 1990 model Case H 7120 mechanical front, 3,652 hours, went for $77,760. That was a record by almost $7,800. So pretty cool there. A couple of popular older models, two records. There's some other nice red paint on that sale I should mention as well. Combine, they had a 2388. Not sure what year it was, and of course the 2388s were made for about a decade there, 97 to 2006, something like that. But 2537 engine hours, went for $64,000, second highest auction price in 2023. And they also had a sprayer, a Case H Patriot 3320, 1168 hours, that came in at $103,680. So yeah, quite a sale there in Tennessee on December 28th.
Yeah, sounds like it. Now that may have still been enjoying some of the end of the year buying, right? Demand for that equipment.
Yeah. Tax motivated buyers. Yep. You put nice equipment they want in front of them before the calendar flips. That's why I've been saying for about 25 years now that if it were me, about November 7th to, I guess, anywhere right through the end of the year, her data has shown, I think, 19 of the last 20 years, values have gone up strongly. And they did again in 23, so.
Right. Okay. Well, take us into this year. You had a couple of auctions that you were watching this past weekend.
Yeah, Saturday. It always takes a while for the auction market to kind of get cranked up. But January 6th, there was a little sale in Hillsboro, Ohio. My friends at Hess Auction Company, just a couple items of note. They had a little John Deere 5220 mechanical front tractor, 1,573 hours with a loader, went for $24,500. And then one I posted about yesterday that got a lot of people talking was a sweet-looking 1963 Chevy 20 pickup, 68,588 miles. Actually, probably not a bad buy there. Looked really sharp, one for $10,000. And they also had a Kawasaki Mule 610 UTV, only 343 hours for $4,700. So sometimes I think chip on a really, really small sale where there's only like 5 to 8 items.
Yeah.
Sometimes the pricing on those, just because it doesn't have the mass to attract all the other interested bidders, you can get pricing that might be a slightly better buy than otherwise on a larger sale.
Yeah. It those smaller sales seem to be, if you're going to show up for it, there's an item on there that you're interested in. If there's a lot of equipment that's offered, the buyer might show up in that mule that sold for $4,700. Somebody might have looked at that was just kind of hanging out and saying, no, that's too good of a deal. I'm going to step in and that one's going to be mine before this thing is done. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. There was also another sale Saturday out east. I was watching my friends at Rich and Rich Auctioneers. They do an awesome job in the North Carolina, Virginia area. And they had some, a seller out of Cape Charles, Virginia, had some tractors that were of interest, I thought. A Kubota M9000, only 460 hours, went for $28,000. That was a front wheel assist. Case H 7220, mechanical front, with 7,430 hours, went for $43,500. For Steiger fans out there, they had a Bearcat KM225, went for $16,000. Not sure on the hours on that one. And a Planner, a Kinsey 3500, 8-row 30 with 7 splitters. Almost new opening discs, one for $50,000. And there was, I found this interesting, Chip, when I posted that one, kind of those two sales, along with all these other ones this weekend and the end of last week, got a comment. I thought it was kind of interesting the other day.
Yeah.
John Fisher hopped on there and he said, I swear we're in Cuba and nobody is recognizing it. And what, you know, he's talking about, you know, when we think of Cuba, of course, we think, you know, the folks there with an economy that was a little messed up over the decades and they can't get new. And so on the automobile side, we see pictures of them driving cars from the 50s.
Right.
And maybe, I think what John was getting at was this is maybe sneaking up on us here. It's like the demand for, you know, we talked about it with those Magnums. They're 35 years old and bringing premium pricing. So, but that was an interesting comment.
Well, I tell you what, it made me think. Spent a little bit of time thinking about that over the weekend, and the simple fact that you don't even recognize it means that you're being drug into it. You know, it's the old how do you boil a frog? You turn the water up slowly. You don't throw them into a boiling pot.
Right. The day about 6 hours after that. Yeah. Comment, and I was just like you. I was like, I kind of chewed on it.
Yeah.
At first blush, you think, you know, maybe it's just, you know, social media has a lot of comments, good, bad, positive, otherwise. But you know, John was on to something there. And then on Twitter, I saw from the ag space, there was a guy out there who was buying a new skid steer, and he purposely left off the names of the dealership and the brands, but was frustrated. And he said, you know, I've been waiting 3 months for my new skid steer to come in. I'd agreed to the price. I had a printed quote and was told 2 weeks ago that it was built and on a truck. And it wasn't delivered till after the first of the year. And then when it was delivered, his dealer told him, you know, our manufacturer had a price increase. I'm going to have to ding another $1,600. You can imagine the comment string on that on Twitter. Mm-hmm. I mean, the sparks were flying forever. Mm-hmm. But to me, as I read that, you know, and I've been talking about, you know, especially coming off the pandemic when the supply chain got all gummed up, it actually gave manufacturers, equipment manufacturers, and all manufacturers, really, not just farm equipment, but it gave them unprecedented pricing power.
Yep.
Now, once you have that, you ain't going to want to give it up unless you have to.
Right.
So we've had this just-in-time manufacturing process. It's not new. But now, you know, it's just like 10X, 20X.
Yep.
And now we flip the calendar to 24, and there's pressure in the ag sector. Corn and beans are where they're at. So, you know, there's forces pushing against each other now. And I'll just be really interested because this, Chip, this gets to the nut of what I've been doing 34 years. Is you take all this together. Yeah. Now let's put something up for sale. And tomorrow, perfect example, there's a sale in Flora, Illinois, Schmidt Auction, great auction company. Check it out, folks, bidschmidt.com. Talk about nice equipment. Retirement sale for Rutland Farms. They got a 2007 John Deere 9230, 5,073 hours, and 8410, 6,386 hours, but they look like new.
Yeah.
4960, 92 model. Nice combine, the 2010 John Deere 9770. So we'll put them up for sale. We'll see how they sell. Prices fall where they fall, and it's pretty interesting.
Yeah. There's going to be demand for that equipment there in Flora, Illinois.
They're going to sell high.
They are. I don't think there's any question about it. Greg, great stuff. Great perspective this week. We will talk with you again soon, buddy. Thanks.
Hey, sounds great, Chip. Take care.
You bet. That is Greg Peterson, Machinery Pete. We're going to talk the National Rural Health System next here on Agriculture.
When you're planting, having the right scale system on your bulk fill planter or drill pays for itself. Use Point from ScaleTech to verify proper seeding rates and make money-saving adjustments on the fly. Not to mention monitor your seed supply with pinpoint accuracy. You could guess, but why? Instead of checking your hoppers manually, keep your tractor moving and let Point do the work. Save time and money with Point. Visit ScaleTech.com to learn more.
Cancer can feel like something we can't do anything about, but you can. There are screening tests that can catch cancer early when it may be easier to treat. Begin cervical screening at age 25. At 45, start colorectal and breast screening. At 50, discuss lung screening with a doctor. Find resources for free and low-cost screening at cancer.org/get-screened. This is a public service message.
Looking to upgrade the home appliances? Alcivia Co-op Heating and Cooling features gas and electric ranges, refrigerators, freezers, washers, and dryers from General Electric and Speed Queen. If you need an appliance repair, Alcivia Co-op Heating and Cooling can service all major appliances. Call Alcivia Co-op and ask for Jody Feedy. She'll help you with all of your home appliance needs. Alcivia Co-op, your GE and Speed Queen appliance dealer, Durand.
Milk markets are higher with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnikins. At the Mercantile Exchange, February milk up 14 to 1567, March up 9 to 1625, April up 6 to 1706, May milk up 3 at 1768. Live and feeder cattle markets are mostly higher. Now, outside market pressure, especially the big drop in the grain markets, is putting technical support into the livestock markets. Hog markets are also moving mostly higher as well, as the mixed trade is in the early week, though, with deferreds moving mostly lower as some of the trade doesn't want to extend the long positions too much. February live cattle up 52 cents to 171.10. January feeder cattle up $1.37 to 224.50. February hogs up 52 cents to 70.52. Chicago Board of Trade, corn, soybeans, and wheat are all moving mostly lower. Now, energies are pressuring the corn and soybean markets, along with some positive weather for the Brazil corn and soybean crop. Wheat markets moving up mostly lower due to the weakness in the rest of the grain complex, along with continued strength in the dollar. March corn down 5 3/4 to 455. New crop down 5 1/2 to 488 1/2. January beans down 13 1/2 to 1236 1/4. New crop down 9 1/2 to 1199. Chicago wheat March down 20 1/4 to 595 3/4. And May down 19 to 608 1/2.
Dairy farmers, extend the life of your investment and keep the milk inspector happy when you resurface your mangers, feed bunks, feed carts, and more with a microepoxy surface from Osteoplastics and Supply. The microepoxy surface provides for easier cleaning of feed bunks, less feed waste, offers a non-skid surface, and withstands extreme temperatures and chemicals. You can repair your floors and equipment for less than replacing, and the increased milk production will pay for the installation. Find out more. Visit osteoplastics.com.
What's in a name? Well, if it's OptiCare, you can expect optimum animal health, optimum performance, and optimum care for your livestock. OptiCare is a complete line of beef, swine, dairy, and specialty products, each designed to treat or prevent common animal health problems, enhance growth, and improve performance. OptiCare, their name says it all. See Jerry Bear and Sons of Arkansas for a complete line of OptiCare products, Hubbard Feeds Incorporated products, and the answers that work.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. If the world is your oyster, we've got pearls of wisdom on AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. Davis, it seems like we need to do this checkup of what is going on in the rural healthcare system.
Absolutely.
2-3 times a year, just to make sure that, if for no other reason, to make sure that it's a priority that stays in place for listeners and understanding exactly some of the pressures that the rural healthcare system is under, but also to get a better understanding of what the priorities are for those leaders in the industry and what they are going to be lobbying for in the year ahead as far as support goes and so on, and to identify some of the trends that are out there. Let's do that right now. We've got Carrie Cochran-McLean. She is the Chief Policy Officer for the National Rural Health Association. She joins us now. Welcome to AgriTalk, Carrie.
Good afternoon or good morning, depending on where you're located. So nice to be here with you guys. I guess we're all probably still in mourning, right? I'm here on the East Coast, but yes.
Yes, excellent. Glad that you're here. Glad you're here. Okay, the National Rural Health Association annual meeting is a little more than a month out from its annual policy institute. What's the number one thing on the agenda for this meeting? Is it the rural hospital closures? Is that the biggest priority issue?
Yeah, you know, Chip, it really is. We are raising a stink out here in Washington about kind of what we're seeing in terms of the status of our rural hospitals. We know that coming out of the COVID-19 pandemic, a lot of hospitals really took a hit during that time. They did everything they could to provide services to the people in their communities, and now they're struggling. And we're continuing to see closures across the country. We're seeing states and community facilities giving up their inpatient services in order to stay open in another model type. So we think it's really important folks here in Washington understand what's happening to hospitals and healthcare throughout our community, and they're doing something about it at the end of this Congress.
So for those locations, give them a little perspective that are working with a rural hospital that is transitioning from the traditional hospital model into an outpatient model only. Is that a successful way to keep healthcare in rural settings?
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I think this new outpatient model, it's called the Rural Emergency Hospital. It's a great model in order to keep some level of access in a rural setting. So it will allow you to have an emergency room. It'll allow the community to still have kind of outpatient services, primary care services in their community. And that's fantastic. And we're very thankful that Congress created that model, and now it's up and running. And we have about 18 of those new kind of facilities throughout the country. And that's good because keeping access is important. But I think our perspective is, in addition, we hate to see hospitals closing their inpatient units because they can't afford to keep them open and being forced to turn to this model. Right. So I think it's a both, and we want to make sure those facilities and communities that want to keep their inpatient care are able to do that.
Okay. This is a trend that we've been talking about with the folks at NRHA for years. Is it a trend that is accelerating? Is it slowing down? What's the overall status?
So it's a great question. So we saw kind of our record high numbers in terms of, we've been tracking this these closures since about 2005. And in 2018, 2019, leading up to the pandemic, we were seeing kind of the highest numbers of closure per year that we had seen to date. During the pandemic, because there was some influx of federal dollars to help all facilities, not just rural facilities, kind of make sure that they could provide care to the folks in their community, given everything that was going on, that influx of cash helped honestly keep quite a few rural hospitals afloat for those 2 years. And now that those kind of resources and support have dried up, we're back to seeing kind of record levels again. And if you're counting those facilities that had to give up their inpatient services in the number of closures, we're actually at a higher rate than we have been in past years. So it's not getting better. Yeah, right. I know.
Yeah, that is frustrating. Is it funding? Is that the number one issue, or is it labor?
It's both. I wish it, and this is why this issue is so darn complicated, is because there's not one easy fix, right? It's workforce, it's labor. We know that it's hard to find the providers in these communities or to come to these communities. And we know that it, we're having to pay more, especially you heard all about those nursing shortages during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. Salaries went up and those salaries have not gone back down. So part of it is a labor shortage and cost issue. And you know what? Those providers deserve those dollars. So I don't want to put it on their doorstep by any means.
Right.
We need to do more to make sure that we're training folks from rural areas. We're recruiting folks to rural areas and really investing in that workforce. And then it also is a reimbursement issue. Just not to get too wonky on you, but you know, when we move to the way that we pay hospitals now, we call it a PPS or a prospective payment rate. Those rates were not made for small, low volume facilities. And so you just can't make the bottom line always come together at the end of the day when you're talking about overhead costs and labor costs and that kind of thing. So we continue to really need some adjustments to the way that we are paying for healthcare in rural areas. And that's what we're trying to do through a whole slew of kind of proposals out in Washington.
Okay. Yeah. Boy, the incentive, even the incentive that is required to get some of the providers, doctors, to split time between a more urban hospital. You know, I'm sitting up here in Northeast Iowa, and I'm thinking about doctors that might share time with one of the hospitals in Waterloo and a hospital in Waverly. Even to provide that kind of incentive is not easy, and need some programs to help make that happen, right?
That's right, right? I mean, we expect a lot of our providers, and it's a lot to be on call 24/7. It's a lot to continuously be moving around the state, going from place to place if you provide specialty care or some other kind of service to your community. And so, yeah, we really need to be, incentivizing and supporting those providers. I also think that investments in things like telehealth continue to be really important.
Right.
And this year in Congress in 2024, we'll be talking a lot about how we can continue some of those flexibilities and incentives for telehealth that we saw during the pandemic that were kind of eased up to make it easier to care for people. We know that those worked, and so we want to make sure that we're changing some of the laws and regulations around that as well. So that's another focus that we'll have in the coming year.
Telehealth is becoming it's being used more and more often. I need an answer to the question, is it becoming more popular? Just because it's used more often doesn't mean that it's popular. Is it working for the patients?
It's a great question. So it's really interesting that if you look at the data during the pandemic, again, a good time when we were using it in a way that it had never really been used before, urban areas used telehealth more than rural did. And I think part of that is a popularity comfort level, both for providers and patients in rural America. Part of it is continued challenges around things like broadband and the capital or the resources to be able to invest in bringing telehealth into your facility. So, you know, there are a lot of different elements to kind of making sure that rural America is not is kind of up to speed if and when folks want to provide telehealth. And I think we also hear a lot that it can't be a replacement for in-person care. You know, so it's like it's a way to supplement. You know, you can see your provider and maybe instead of having to drive that distance for specialty care, you can do some of that through telehealth. And so I think it's a supplement to what we would be seeing normally in our communities. But yeah, it's a little bit of an adjustment, I think, for folks.
Perfect. Okay. That emergency healthcare model that you were that we talked about earlier. Where does rural ambulance service and the people, the EMTs that provide care in those ambulances, how does all that fit together?
It's a great question. So all of these are great questions. Spot on. So, you know, I talk a lot about rural hospital closures as a proxy for where we are in terms of the overall health of the rural healthcare system. But those pain points that hospitals are facing face a lot of different types of healthcare providers in rural communities, including EMS. So EMS services also are continuing to struggle, and there's been some great data in the last couple of years that have shown the growing number of what we call ambulance deserts, meaning that there's no access or limited access to an ambulance in big swaths of the country. So, you know, EMS and ambulance service is another area where we've been talking a lot about, and we have bills teed up around supporting kind of the payment to support ambulance services themselves, and then supporting and training the EMTs. So that's another critical area.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, Carrie, we need to stay in touch after you have your... Yeah, after you have your national meeting here coming up next month, let's go ahead and get together again and get an update on the situation. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Take care.
All right. That is Carrie Cochran-McLean, Chief Policy Officer, National Rural Health Association. Davis and I will be right back.
I'm getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, a Pfizer vaccine.
So am I, because I'm at risk for pneumococcal pneumonia.
If you're 19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, COPD, or heart disease, or are 65 or older, you are at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about Prevnar 20, pneumococcal 20-valent conjugate vaccine. It can help protect you against pneumococcal pneumonia in just one dose. Even if you've already been vaccinated with other pneumonia vaccines, Prevnar 20 may help provide added protection. Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
It looks like your luggage is over 50 pounds. Is there anything you can take out?
Oh, yeah. Let me just toss all these $20 bills.
Great. Let me grab you a trash can.
Stop. Instead of throwing money away, move some clothes into a carry-on. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
My daughter is normally a little goofball. But after a bad night's sleep, she's too tired to be anything. That's why I trust Pure Z's Kids. Pure Z's Kids is mindfully formulated just for kids. Their non-habit-forming, drug-free products help my daughter fall asleep naturally, giving her the rest to be her best.
I'm a dinosaur.
Best dinosaur.
Pure Z's Kids, for ages 4 and up when needed. Explore our products at ZQuil.com.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Lower crop prices and extreme weather can take a toll on your profits and peace of mind. Crop insurance is a powerful tool to not only protect your financial security, but give you confidence to market grain, invest in your operation, and provide for what matters most, your family. At Farmers Mutual Hail, we understand that, so we've created products that allow you to customize plans for up to 95% coverage. It's time to rethink your crop insurance and choose FMH, America's Crop Insurance Company, to protect your livelihood. Visit connect.fmh.com today.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private health care is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready. And health insurance is your financial safety net. Health insurance has never been so easy and affordable. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more,
give us a call at 800-801-2730. That's 800-801-2730.
Scammers often try to dupe veterans to steal the VA benefits they've earned. Scammers may try to obtain sensitive information or collect payments over the phone, offer to move assets in order to qualify for pension, insist benefits may be sent directly to a friend or caregiver, or promise to manage benefits or file a claim for you. VA will never charge you for processing a claim, and only VA can determine eligibility. To report suspicious activity, visit va.gov/OIG/hotline.
We don't make the news, we render it. AgriTalk. And welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Your pal, Davis Michelson, here. Monday morning. Chip Flory?
Yes.
It is Monday, right? Monday?
Let me check. Yep, Monday.
It's just the weeks have been so weird. I never know anymore.
Well, it's not going to get any easier anytime soon. It's another 3-day weekend for the markets coming up.
Oof. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, is it? It's Martin Luther King Jr.
Martin
Day, right?
Martin Luther King Jr. Day on a week from today, yeah.
Week from today. Wow. Okay. Well, you know, we'll get our groove back. We'll be fine.
You think?
I think so.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the conversation with Greg Peterson, Machinery Pete, I was hearing echoes of our conversation last week with Dr. Jim Mintert. Was that just last week, I believe?
Yeah.
Talking about the Purdue CME Ag Economy Barometer. Mm-hmm. And some of those, the inventories do seem to be moderating prices to some degree on machinery and implements here. Mm-hmm. He saw it, and now we've got Pete here. I mean, still solid prices, but yeah. We're not hearing, well, you know, Chip, this beat the record by $50,000. You know, we're not hearing that anymore.
This doubled the old record.
Yes.
No. and Greg talked about how the dealer inventory and how dealers are changing how they manage that inventory, how that's having an effect on the auction system and machinery prices in general. It used to be that if the inventory started to come onto the dealer's lot, what did they do? They let that inventory build, and they were financing that. And those financing costs at the dealership were being passed on to consumers, the buyers of that equipment. The inventory is greatly improved for most items, not all items, but for most items. But the way that the dealers are managing that inventory is changing. They're not letting this big, huge inventory accumulate on their lot. Instead, they're using the auction system and moving that product, trying to turn it over more quickly, and moving that product through some of the consignment sales and so on. So
that's interesting. Yeah.
They're being very aggressive in their inventory management this time around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Things have changed.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to ask you about this. We're switching gears pretty hard here, but this from the news. The annual gathering of the nation's top economists brought mixed sentiments. On one hand, they relieved the U.S. is seemingly on track for economic growth in the short term instead of facing a recession. However, their concerns shift toward the long-term outlook and whether growth will surpass pre-pandemic levels. They find themselves perplexed by their earlier failure to anticipate what appears to be a, quote, soft landing. Chip, did I hear over the weekend or maybe on Friday last week, did I hear Janet Yellen call it a soft landing? She says the soft landing is in and this is it. Did I mishear that?
You know what? I don't know.
Okay.
That could be exactly right. I mean, you know, we started talking about this a couple of months ago, maybe even longer than ago than that, when I made the comment that it almost feels like not only is it a soft landing, but it feels like somehow, some way, the Fed is maneuvering the 747 into landing on a football field.
Right.
You know, and I caught some crap for saying that. And it made me rethink things. Some of the constructive feedback that I received on that made me rethink things. But the reason that I was rethinking it is because just because the general economy and most areas of the economy might be feeling a generally soft landing doesn't mean that it's soft everywhere. Some areas are absolutely messes.
True.
And it's the affordability that is creating high anxiety in lower, middle, and upper middle class America.
Yep.
It's
this soft landing brought to you by the good folks who brought you transitory inflation. Am I right?
Yes. Yeah. So now the question, you know, they messed they started so late on the management of the inflation. It makes you wonder how they're going to manage this soft landing going forward. 7 interest rate cuts, as was being talked about a couple of weeks ago in 2024.
Yeah.
It seemed ridiculous to me at the time, seems really ridiculous to me now, in that would not be managing an economy going forward. That's just like that would have been like, okay, look at us, we stopped inflation, or we slowed inflation to an acceptable level. That's the better way of saying it.
There you go.
So we've accomplished that. Let's reward everybody with some policy, some monetary policy that will change, that will add fire back to the inflationary pressures at the same time that we're dealing with a Congress that has shown no fiscal restraint and the willingness to slow spending. Now, that might show up, but to this point, we haven't seen it. So let's see what shows up here before the 19th and before the 2nd, and to see if this fiscal restraint is something that's being shared across the board or not. I doubt it, Davis. Don't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, restraint is a bridge too far, Chip.
Yeah. Yeah. They still like spending money. Everybody likes spending money.
I do. I admit it. I admit it.
They're going to spend money. It's going to be... the battle is not over, even though Schumer and Johnson have come together and said, listen, we've got a deal. The battle is not over on this spending. Thanks for listening this morning. You've got to come back this afternoon. We're going to talk about risk management. Brian Bassin from Advanced Trading is our guest this afternoon on AgriTalk.
What is dedication?
My biggest fear in the middle of my addiction was that my kids wouldn't have a father. And I started thinking, you know what? This isn't my story. I definitely had to become a better man to be a better father. It's important to me that my kids are empowered and truly believe that if they can think it, they can do it.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
If you served, we want you to get the health care and benefits you earned. We want you to come to VA.
There's never been a better time to apply. Under a new law called the PACT Act, we've expanded VA care and benefits to millions of people who served and their survivors.
No matter where you served or how long you served, check out va.gov/PACT to learn more about what VA can do for you and your family.
Come to VA.
Don't miss out on limited-time appliance deals during the closeout event at Lowe's. Get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, save an extra $100 when you spend $999 or more on all major appliances. Hurry, these deals are too good to last long. Shop in-store or online today. Because Lowe's knows home improvement. Valid 1/4 through 1/24. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for details.